ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरय नष्टप्रेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिके। Part 24 Partivadaruno dumas tasmadagnisrayi maya tamasastu rajas tasmad sattvam yad brahma darshanam. Firewood is a transformation of earth, but smoke is better than the raw wood, and fire is still better. For by fire we can derive the benefits of superior knowledge through Vedic sacrifices. Similarly, passion, rajas, is better than ignorance, tamas, but goodness, sattva, is best, because by goodness one can come to realize the absolute truth. Okay, so here again it's continuing from the previous verse about the three modes, and so there is an analogy that firewood is better than fire is better, superior, okay, than smoke, which is better than wood. So there, it's an analogy to relate to the three modes. And at the same time, fire is important for sacrifices to please Vishnu. Okay, yeah. So Srila Prabhupada highlights that also. But and then Srila Prabhupada, particularly in the last sentence of that purport, he says, in other words, there is a qualitative difference between the different kinds of worshipping methods, as well as the respective results derived from the predominating deities, namely Brahma, Vishnu and Hara. Okay? Because there is difference. Now, even though it says mode of passion is better than mode of ignorance, because through passion we create what we call poetry, literature and so on, so we glorify the Lord. So it has the ability to give us the attraction to more of goodness. So, but in your ignorance you cannot do anything, alright? But then Srila Prabhupada says that a spiritual master who is very expert, he can deliver even if you are in tamaguna, okay? So that appreciation is there, okay? Yeah.
So, passion is required to do any activity.
Yeah, you must have passion, otherwise you'll be lying down. Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah. Then how do we use that passion?
Anything that is connected to Krishna.
Right, that is important.
Yeah, that is important, yeah.
So, then that passion is converted into
spiritual activity, service. Yeah.
In your devotional service also passion is required, otherwise
you can't. Everyone must have passion to survive in this material world, yeah. But the point is, coming to means everything you do in the mode of goodness, activities. So, you need the passion to do the activities, but you do it for the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord and His devotees, okay? Like you run up to do something, all that is required to, but you're doing it for Krishna. So, that's like Hanuman burnt the Lanka, he needed the passion and the aggression, but he was doing it for the Lord. So that activity is actually for Ram became transcendental. Right? So, yeah, of course you need passion.
So now question, the actual question is, that in spiritual world, when we are doing activities, is it still a passion? Or, I mean, of course it's transcendental, but...
Well, you know, that's the problem. You cannot, with our material intelligence, you don't understand what it is. It's actually all activities in spiritual world for pleasure of the Lord. But it is not rajaguna, tamaguna, satguna. No, it's not.
It's nirguna.
But you can't say nirguna because people think it's nothing. No, it's transcendental. It's Sudhasattva. It's Vasudeva platform.
So same thing which is applicable here, right? When you're doing service. I mean, of course, we are not pure.
Yeah, but if you're doing it for your guru or for the devotees or for Krishna, then that you're not acting on the gunas. You're not acting on the goodness. And it all depends on your consciousness.
Activity in mode of goodness.
Mode of goodness, right?
So with which consciousness we do them.
So it depends on your consciousness.
Are we expecting something?
You
know, even sacrifice, what we do. If I'm just trying to do sacrifice.
So, name, fame. So Krishna defines very early what sannyas means. He says you need to do those things. Charity, sacrifice and austerity. Yeah. But he says, one who does it as a matter, must be done anyway. So he says, as a matter, but give the results, are not attached to the results. So that's very important.
Prabhuji, when you are doing this, it as a matter of duty.
No, why are you going into that? We are talking about, what is your concern about matter of duty?
So when you are doing it as a matter of duty, you won't do it very passionately. Let's say when you take the work.
When your spiritual master asks you to do something, it's a matter of duty, right? And then you say, go now quickly and do something. So you're going to do it very peacefully?
We will do it.
Yeah, you'll run and so passion is required. So, but it's done for the right purpose. So it's okay. And when you are fully conscious of doing for Krishna everything and you dedicate your life for that and you're fixed like that, then when you sleep, that is not considered even more of ignorance, because you're doing that as a service so that you can rest your body. So that also becomes purifying in that sense. Yeah. Alright. So the aim here is to highlight the way people worship different personalities, but the benefits are not the same. One is transcendental, the other two personalities cannot give what we call, we discussed earlier, is mukti. And so that has to be understood, particularly in this verse, text 25. Dejire munayotagre bhagavantam adoksajam satvam vishuddham shamaya kalpante yenutaniha. Previously, all the great sages rendered service unto the personality of Godhead due to his existence above the three modes of material nature. They worshipped him to become free from material conditions and thus derive the ultimate benefit. Whoever follows such great authorities is also eligible for liberation from the material world. So, the main idea behind practicing any activities to the Lord is that we want to actually get out of this cycle of birth and death. Yeah? So in the first sentence, Srila Prabhupada says, the purpose of performing religion is neither to profit by material gain nor to get the simple knowledge of discerning matter from spirit. What is the ultimate aim? To release oneself from bondage and then get the real freedom in the spiritual world. So, laws of religion, dharmam tu shaksha pranitam bhagavat pranitam, are directly enacted by personality Godhead, and except for the mahajanas or the authorized agents of the Lord, no one knows the purpose of religion. So, unless the religion teaches, what should the religion teach?
Love God.
Yeah, how to love God. If it doesn't teach, then it's useless. Then it's not religion. Religion means how to teach. So that's why Prabhupada said no one knows the purpose of religion. So the authorized agents, when you find all these people in the disciplic succession, they always teach you the same thing, how to behave. So why? To come to the point of loving God exclusively. And then he says there are 12 particular agents who know the purpose of religion. So that's discussed in the sixth canto, right? And so if you want to do good for yourself and for others, then follow in their footsteps. Following in the footsteps of a great devotee. Mahajana yena katha sapanta. Yeah. Text 26. So now the topic changes, because from the three modes, then now is Sutta Goswami is going to talk about in general demigods worship. So text 26. Mumukshava gora rupam hidva bhuta patinata Narayana kala shanta bhajanti anasuyavaha. Those who are serious about liberation are certainly non-envious, and they respect all. Yet they reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods and worship only the all-blissful forms of Lord Vishnu and his plenary portions. So the qualities here highlighted is that if you are serious about actually getting out of this cycle, one quality that you need to develop is non-enviousness. So even this point is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna tells Arjuna, I'm telling you this secret because you are my friend, and as well he says you're non-envious. So that's very important. That enviousness, that kind of quality should be given up. And then Sutta Goswami explains that the forms of demigods, here it says reject the horrible and ghastly forms of the demigods. Doesn't mean all the demigods are ghastly. Particularly there are such forms. Just like there are beautiful forms, like the Lord, when Krishna showed his Virat Rupa, it was very scary also. Ordinary person cannot view those things. So, in the same way, and when Narsingadev came also, the demigods got frightened because it was very scary. So, in the same way, the devotees don't worship such forms. They are only worshipping the forms of the Lord Vishnu and his expansions. Of course, when Prahlad Maharaj saw Narsingh, he didn't see a ghastly form. He saw a beautiful form. Okay, so as devotees will see it like that. So we are not interested in any demigod worship. Whether they are ghastly looking or beautiful looking, that's not our interest. But we do not ridicule them. We do not look down on them, because they are also devotees, okay, but they are empowered personalities. So that is a very important point for us to also know, because they are also part and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and they are empowered administrators of the universe. So that should be understood carefully. And generally, who worships demigods? People in the mode of passion and ignorance only. Yeah. And in Devi Varnashram system, the idea is to bring everyone to the mode of goodness, and from mode of goodness is easy to worship and transcend the three modes. Okay, so but we shouldn't have any disrespect for or grudge against demigod worshippers. We should be well wishers of everyone. It's very important. We need to cultivate this quality of being a well wisher. Non-enviousness, and don't hold grudges. Okay? All this are going to drag us down in our practice of Krishna consciousness. Text 27. Rajasama prakritaya samashila bhajanti vai pitri bhuta braja shadin sri aishwarya prajapsavaha. Those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance worship those in the same category, namely the forefathers. Other living beings and the demigods who are in charge of cosmic activities, for they are urged by a desire to be materially benefited with women wealth, power and progeny. Again, this is all worshipping demigods again. So there is no need to worship all this if you are interested in going back to Godhead. So Suta Goswami is emphasizing there are such worship. People will pursue those as religious practices, but that's not our goal. Okay. So, and even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says those who worship demigods, they are less intelligent. So, because they are attracted by the flowery languages as well as what they get, quick material benefits which are temporary. Okay, so that's not the idea. We want something that is eternal benefit, and only person who can give us eternal benefit is Krishna, Narayana, or Vishnu. And generally people only ask for this wealth, sex, and some good family heritage or something like that. But they are not interested in giving up all this material enjoyment and going back to God. But what is happening is they are covered by the material enjoyment, the tendency to enjoy. So they are covered, the intelligence is gone. So men of small intelligence worship the demigods. And so when you perform that, what happens is when you start worshipping, these material things are temporary, so you may feel some happiness. But then at the end, yeah, so those who are acting in the mode of passion, in the beginning they enjoy, they are happy, but in the end it gives misery. So this is how it is. So those who are in the modes of passion and ignorance worship in the same category. And those who are in ignorance are already suffering, and they will induce more suffering for themselves to get something they feel that will help them. So these are not our idea of worshipping. Okay. But our main goal is to derive benefit, eternal benefit. Not to increase the misery, which we are always thinking is the right thing. Srila Prabhupada says even Krishna, when he adventured in Goloka Vrindavan, when Nanda Maharaj wanted to worship Indra, he stopped him. And then tell him, don't worship him. Because what is the value of worshipping him? Because where do the demigods get their potency from? Yeah, so that the same thing. And even if you talk, say this demigod is, who actually empowers these demigods? Just like the guna avatars, who's actually giving them the potency? Krishna. Yeah, so it is Krishna himself. And so better to worship the Supreme Lord. Okay, So Srila Prabhupada also says, we kick out all this religion. Dharmam prajita kaitava tra, kaitava dharma. So, kick it out. So that's Srila Prabhupada saying. But we follow Bhagavad Dharma. How to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. And then now, Sutta Goswami, this verse, particularly these two verses, pinpoints who we should worship. So, Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Maka, Vasudeva para Yoga, Vasudeva para Kriya, Vasudeva param Jnanam, Vasudeva param Tapa, Vasudeva paro Dharma, Vasudeva paragati. In the revealed scriptures, the ultimate object of knowledge is Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The purpose of performing sacrifice is to please Him. Yoga is for realizing Him. All fruitive activities are ultimately rewarded by Him only. He is supreme knowledge, and all severe austerities are performed to know Him. Religion, dharma, is rendering loving service unto Him. He is the supreme goal of life. In the translation, Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear, religion, paradharma, what is that? That is rendering loving service. If you look at the word dharma in translation, you won't get that. But because he's connecting how you relate, what is the relationship? It's loving service. So that has to be properly understood also. And this loving service can only come about through loving relationship among the devotees themselves. And that's a very important point. Yeah, you see, all the sages are together. Well, they are not... they are all there helping each other to understand what they should be doing. So, by rendering... especially in Kali Yuga, we are so manda sumanda matta bhagayo, we don't have the ability to do things properly. So we need to get assistance and help from one another. So therefore, that loving relationship must be cultivated. And when you have someone lovingly helping you, you can develop love also. But when you are always fighting, how can you know how to love the Lord then? You know, it's not possible. Then you will only know how to fight with the Lord also. Yeah, so it's very important to cultivate this mood of being there's some gratitude with everyone, because everyone is doing their best in this devotional practice. So it's very important. And particularly this verse talks about, if you look at it, it relates to the verse in Bhagavad Gita, Vasudevam Sarvamiti. That's particular sentence, Vasudevam Sarvamiti. Because everything is the Supreme Lord. And then also he says, I'm the origin of the Vedas, and from the Vedas, by the Vedas, you understand me. I'm to be known by the Vedas also. So he's the purpose behind everything. Yeah? So therefore, his supreme knowledge and all spheres are performed to know him, just to understand who he is. And why we want to understand who he is? So that we can perform loving, personal loving service to him. Okay? How to get that mood of gratitude? Yeah, so then in the beginning we may not be grateful, but then you can start saying thank you, you know, in the first place. Yeah, for any small thing, like somebody gives you something, a seed or whatever, cultivate. Or if you have too much ego, then maybe you can at least pray to the Lord and say thank you for everything you've given me, and then think in a positive way that the whole day today, for example, you worked and you came back, and you are grateful for this thing like that. Yeah, thank you for this. Yeah, so that way, once you get more courage to thank others, then you then turn around and thank people. Right? You have to start somewhere. Grateful. Yeah. Be thankful for the small things. Thankful for the fact that you can still breathe and, you know, live. Sometimes because we take it for granted, right? And so we take ourselves for granted also. But when you awake each day and think, I'm still alive, right? When we start thinking like that, we can become serious in our actual practices. But more than that, individually you will fail most often. Most of the time we will fail, because we don't have the sadhu sangha to bring us to the next level. And in fact, in the earlier verses, where there's a succession of, so the beginning is you have to have faith, shraddha, right? Then after that you need to have sadhu sangha. Without sadhu sangha, it's not possible to move forward. And the fact that shraddha comes in because of sadhu sangha. So that means you have to be grateful for that. Right? Like, for example, you before all these practices of devotion, what were we and what are we now, right? We can see that. So Shouldn't we be grateful that we have changed for the better? Right? And who should we thank? Thank the devotees. Yeah. So it always comes down to that, you know. Devotees and association is very important. And you can hide. You can hide in your own Brahmandas, you know. But how long? Just like Brahmandas get created, it also has destruction. So. But devotee association will always remain. So we don't want that. So Srila Prabhupada therefore makes it very clear that if you follow this this particular verse, that the Supreme Lord can give you so many things, and therefore the demigods cannot give you all of these things. They may give a little bit of this or that, but they cannot give everything. Therefore, we should therefore worship the Supreme Lord. And there's another verse also, Akama, Sarvakama, Moksha Kama Udariti, Tivrena Bhakti Yogani, Yadaje Purushamparam. Whether you have so much desires or no desires or some desire, whatever, desire best is to worship the Supreme Lord. Because He is giving you everything. He can give everything. And everything from the scripture says, the activities we do is actually to, ultimately to please Him. And this information many people don't know, because they don't understand that there is God and he's a person and He can actually grant us all these abilities and have a relationship with Him. We can't do. So therefore, Prabhupada writes, they can surrender unto Him only after many, many, many births. So, Bhavanam Janmanamanti, Jnanamamamprava, then finally Vasudevam Sarvamiti. So basically all activities that we do from the Vedas is ultimately is to please Krishna. Even though we do some yajna for something, all yajna, most people don't know, because remember we discussed in Bhagavad Gita, the yoga letter, before you chant the yajna mantra, first thing goes to Vishnu or Narayan, everything goes to Narayan. After you get His blessing, then the demigod will say, okay, now I can bless you like that. So then why we should properly understand what the worship is for. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So Prabhupada writes a lot in this purport. We've discussed all already, most of the points.
Prabhupada also says, Bahunam Janmanamante, after many, many births and deaths, one who is intelligent, that he surrenders to Krishna. Mm. So, why don't we surrender now? He says, just surrender.
That's a good point. Eh?
So, don't try to, don't try to go through the many births and deaths.
Yeah.
Surrender
now. So you don't have to. Did you all hear that? Yeah. What? Bhavanam Janmanamanti, Jnanamam Mamprapadyante. Bhavanam Janmanam means you're taking so many births. After so many births, you come to with that intelligence that Vasudevam Sarvamiti. But now you have that information. Why don't we surrender now? Why do we want to take more births? The reason why we don't, because we have weakness of heart. And that weakness of heart is due to anarthas and offences. But to overcome that, we need good association who can help us, guide us, and come to the level of surrendering to the Supreme Lord. That's all it is, you know. And any time we find that we are not doing any progress, the real problem is, sit in front of the mirror and you'll see the real problem. And because not only problem for ourselves, we cause problem to everybody around us, isn't it? Yeah. Husband cause problem to wife cause problem to husband, you know. Instead of cooperating, instead of helping each other, nowadays in Kali Yuga, we all try to sabotage one another. Isn't it? It's like, you know, when you see someone fall, only you are happy. Isn't it? That's the Kali Yuga mentality. Right? In summary, it makes a mistake. Ah, okay, okay, ah, okay, I'm safe because I'm also in the same level. But if somebody makes advancement, oh, yeah, okay, you know, fine fault, yeah. Paradukha
sukhi. When others are in misery, we are happy.
Mm.
And when others are happy, I'm in misery.
I'm in misery. So that's wrong, eh? Should be paradukha dukhi, not paradukha sukhi. You know? That's next 30.
Because somehow I was thinking about this.
You were thinking of what?
I was just thinking about this thing today. So the mentality of that thing is that somebody that sort of is built in the way, in the system, or brought up that, you know, if somebody is getting more, that means you are not getting.
Yeah.
That mentality is sort of ingrained a lot.
Because they are a competitor to us, right? Everybody is a competitor to us.
Yeah. Well, you know,
so it's so much ingrained that it just...
No, the material world is created like this.
Sorry?
The material world is created purposefully like this, so that you will suffer.
And especially in the Kali Yuga, all the people having this thing are taken for mostly. So you find most of the people having the same.
You know.
The purpose of we come to the material world to enjoy, right? So other persons...
Yeah, you can enjoy, but only one at a time.
Right, so that's the reason, you know...
It's a sequential processing.
Exactly enjoyment for us, because that competition is there.
Yeah.
So it's survival of the fittest.
Yeah, it's first in, first out, you know. We pop in the registry or the array, right? Whatever goes in first, you pop out first. So those, I mean, I think you all can relate to those kind of ideology. Yeah. So whoever is the first one to take birth, and like, you know, you can only have one US president.
Yeah, exactly. So all of these
even though there may be so many qualified, but only one guy will get elected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's how the material is designed. Mm-hmm. So therefore, what happens is then the stock is limited.
Yeah.
And so you fight for it.
Yeah.
So when you fight for it, you become unhappy. So material world is Dukhalayam Ashashvatam. It's never ending misery. And it's only in illusion you think you are enjoying, and that enjoyment is only temporary. The fact you feel enjoyment means you must be suffering first. Right? Otherwise, how do you know you are enjoying it? And then when you feel you're not enjoying it, that means you must be suffering. It cannot be neutral, because who is Shanta? Very few people can come to Shanta in this condition. Only a devotee can be in samadhi, because he knows this, all this will affect his service to Krishna. That's a devotee. That means we have to aspire to be a devotee. And so when you see someone do something that is not in line with scripture, we have to feel sorry for them, you know. And if it's against you, then you should think it's my karma to face this. That consciousness requires a lot of self-analysis. But having said that, you should only see it for yourself. You cannot use the rule to judge someone else, you know. That means you need to purify yourself. You don't go around correcting people. You don't correct, but you can discuss about it, talk about it, but you don't go. Like, you know, you judge somebody, you can't do this, but maybe that's what you should be like. Someone else cannot be in that situation, right? Not everyone is in the same level, you know. Like, you have a family, your daughter want to buy something because she needs it for school, but if Amritananda said, that's too expensive, I'm not going to buy. Because from his point of view, it's too expensive. But it may not be from the point of the kid, because she may need it for school. No, just go to the library and get the book. And then, well, that is wrong. You're not doing your duty.
That happens.
Yeah, it happens in life, because people they don't understand what should be done and what shouldn't be done. You know, unnecessarily you're causing distress for the other living entity. Isn't it? It's unnecessary. What is, you should see also, are you a poor guy, you know, that's the other thing, you know, how much are you suffering, are you, you only get $50 a week and so you cannot, then it's understandable. But if you're making 100,000, 200,000, 300, 400 and you're, you know, worried about $5, $10 for the child like that, then something is wrong. It has to be practical, our lifestyle should be practical, but it should be simple. Simple doesn't mean you put it everything in the bank and then lock it up, you know. That's not simple living, you know. Simple living means you don't need some things. So you live according to your means, what you can. But your wife may need some extra, your daughter may need more, your son may need something else. So they may need according to, that is simple. You give them the best you can. Yeah? And should be reasonable. And so what is reasonable? Some of you need to learn also, because you don't know what reasonable means. Isn't it? So you need coaching in those areas, and maybe you need to go for some seminars, how to live or spend, whatever. Because, you know, I see it all the time, every place I go, I see these things all the time. Because we don't know, you know, we read Prabhupada's books and say simple living, so okay, no more, you know, turn off the AC and then try to sleep or stay in the all day, like that, right? No heater, why, we are spending money. That's not simple living, that's foolish. You cause distress to you for the basic lifestyle, but you cannot concentrate on Krishna. And then your wife is angry, your children are angry at you, and then you don't know what to do. And you're thinking they're all your enemies. It ends up like that. I've seen it so many places, huh? You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially that extending simplicity to family members.
Exactly.
That's like, come so naturally, I at least came to me definitely.
Right, right.
Just feeling.
It's like a neophyte thing.
It's like, that's the advancement that she, the wife of children should be.
Yeah, first you make the advance. Yeah, you got to go. You practice it. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you.
Be strict with
yourself, but not with others, you know. Because they are also jiva struggling. And how do you know what is right for them? First you get out of the mode, then you can help others. So that's why Srila Prabhupada says, rise above the mode, right? Arjuna, please rise also, Krishna tells. So we should all practice that first. But we should practice it because we should know how we can do it, then we can help others. You know, so this, it requires a lot of austerity on our part, you know. But what is the main thing Krishna tells Arjuna? Do your duty, yes. But don't be attached to the result. So when you expect others to do, that means you are attached to the results. That means you don't understand the philosophy properly. Yeah, so it's very important to know this.
There has to be some balance. Right?
Huh?
There has to be some balance.
There has to be balance. Yeah, but then if you are
spending.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. How do you know what is the thing? Unless you have a good circle of friends, and then you can say this is average, right? Otherwise, you don't know. You can make your own averages, you know. Yeah. For example, if your daughter wants to spend $1,000 every fortnight, then yeah, there's something you have to figure out. There's something wrong, right? But if it's only just for some basic needs, you know, then we shouldn't go into a tangent and throw tantrums and so on, right? You know. Sometimes I hear devotees come and tell, my wife's spending so much. What do you mean? Yeah, she went to grocery store and she bought, $100 this week. But what is the cost of food and petrol nowadays? Right? Those things they don't think, you know. Or even in temple expenditure, sometimes you see devotees will say, oh, this week we spend too much. But then the vegetable prices in 2 weeks ago went up double the time. So they don't account for that. Isn't it? It happens because we are not thinking straight. Yeah, so we should find out why it went, okay? And then you say, okay, this is valid. You know, don't just jump to conclusions all the time. Practical thing means you have to know, okay? You have to know exactly. If you want to have a lifestyle, you have to know exactly what the food costs, what this, everything. Then you can say this is over and this is less, right? Correct or not? Some in some families I know the husband will just give the check to the wife and say, okay, you take care of the house because I don't want to know. Because every time they will come and say, I need to spend for this, I need to spend for that, and you know, and so I've heard of that also. So, I leave it to my wife because she is expert, they say like that. Yeah.
In Vedic tradition,
yeah.
Basically the wife is...
She runs the family, in the home, yeah. She does everything in the home. She is the main person. The husband just provides, supplies the thing, yeah. And they manage the home.
I've seen where the husband brings the paycheck.
Yeah.
Gives to wife.
Hmm.
And then she manages, even when you want something, you'll ask from her.
Yeah, but she knows. That means she knows what is good for it. Then that's why they do. And that's what I'm saying. I've heard from some devotees. They say, I leave it to my wife. She knows how to manage it because I don't know how much cost and so on. And if I do, I micromanage, they say. You know? And then I only fight with my wife all the time. Why do you spend this? But now I'm happy because, you know, she knows exactly what she pays the bill, she does everything, so it's out of my mind. So that way their stress is less, you know.
I have the same time.
Huh?
I have that micromanaging tendency.
Yeah, you are. That's why your vata is off.
So the best advice I got is like you set a budget.
Yeah.
Then give that budget and let them manage. You don't need
to no, that means you're still managing.
No.
Yeah.
You set a budget.
Yeah, well, that's right. The
you
budget.
They will give the budget.
Okay, that's right.
They will give the budget. You give it, and then within that range, whatever they spend, you don't interfere. So.
Yeah, you don't interfere at all. You don't even worry. But if they need more, then you should be willing to give.
No, that's the budget.
You cannot say, your budget is finished. These are practical things, and you all are going through some of these things. So just think about it, because you want to cooperate. The idea is all of you are devotees. Husband and wife, children, all are devotees. So if you don't treat one another nicely, they will not feel comfortable in Krishna consciousness. Right? So then what will happen? Then you all won't be happy. And then Krishna consciousness, you'll blame Krishna consciousness in the end. And then you leave. And there's so many families have split like that. Yeah, they left the movement for wrong reasons, for small things, huh?
In my case, the opposite happened. The reason is that I'm spending like weekly like for temple.
Right.
Like spending $500,000 is a normal thing.
Right, because you're doing it for the temple, on behalf of the temple,
so
yeah.
Even when I go for my shopping, oh, it's $100, that's fine. Just
yeah.
Like
yeah, because you bulk buy, you know. Yeah, that's right. The problem happens. Yeah.
There's a quite opposite side.
Yeah.
It's good.
No, yeah. So then you have to balance with her. Yeah. So then you have to hear, okay, yeah, I shouldn't buy bulk because, you know, you buy like 50 pounds potato and then so nobody is eating. Right? So.
We have so many neighbors.
Yeah. Typically I feel so with the devotees anyway, you know, just because of the lifestyle and if you're an association of devotees, you know, spending fairly less as compared to, you know, just look outside in the world, you know, people just even eating out, just, you know, devotees hardly do that at all.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. I mean, what else are you going to spend that much on? Maybe some furniture. This. I don't know, my feeling is that, so I think...
No, it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle thing. You adopt a certain lifestyle and maybe in your life that's fine. But then another person's lifestyle is different, you know. Like, for example, I know some devotees, they give their children free rein. Like, you know, every week or something, they give them a certain budget, like you were saying, allowance or something like that. And so they'll spend a lot more than another family where they don't have such allowance schemes. So it's a lifestyle that you adopt, you know. But whatever it is, it shouldn't cause any...
Distress.
If it causes, that means there's something wrong.
That's something.
Yeah. Yeah. And then sometimes you think you know every answer. They all laughing because they all go through the same thing. Yeah. Yeah. So so you have to work it out and be practical. The point is, bottom line is practical. You know. And sometimes it may be extreme, but maybe for peace of mind, you may have to give in. Yeah. So what is wrong in giving in an extra, you know, you're not going to go bankrupt, you know, if you give extra $50 or $100 or whatever. I mean, I'm just giving figures. I don't know what the real life situation is, but I'm saying you have to do it such that it doesn't cause unnecessary. But the main, what is the main goal? Yeah, develop attachment to Krishna together. So that means if you can't do that within a, within your lifestyle, then there's something wrong. Then you seriously have to have counselors, and that's why you need counselors, so they can help us figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So then you should understand why then create this extra burden on myself. Let me just, okay, you know, you want extra, sure. Let me chant peacefully. But of course, you know, you cannot have all kinds of, you know, illusion, you know, like some people have extremes, like, you know, in some family, the wife thinks the husband will run away with all the money, or the husband thinks the wife will take away the money, and those kinds of situations. I heard that and I'm like, what? Like, you know, is it really like that? You know, but these are extreme cases, but it exists. It exists. Because why? There's the practice of Krishna consciousness is not good. That's why you have such consciousness. That means you're more worried about your material thing than about trying to develop pure devotional service. But that's because we are not dependent on Vasudevam Sarvam Iti. And that's particularly why, you know, Sutta Goswami is making very clear, you know, we have everything should be dedicated for the pleasure of Krishna. So if you can help your son or daughter in a way that they feel happy that my father always supported me. Yeah? I've heard from devotees who you know, who are much older now, they tell me, whenever I was young, whatever I needed, somehow or other my parents will provide for us, no matter how. And they have so much positive feelings, you know. And then you get the other side also. My parents didn't care for me. So then you need to see from your point of view how you're going to balance. So the child or the daughter understands when you can and when you cannot. And then they don't feel that you never cared for them. Because they are the future generation, the future Krishna consciousness. So think about all this. Then they will understand. Because when you do it properly in the right way, then they will be more conducive to taking up this para dharma. Like that. All right. Text 30. Saivadam sasarjagre bhagavan atma mayaya sat asat rupaya cha sau gunamaya guna vibhu. In the beginning of the material creation, that absolute personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, in his transcendental position, created the energies of cause and effect by his own internal energy. Okay. Srila Prabhupada makes it very clear in the first sentence, the position of the Lord is always transcendental. Even if it's dealing with the material world. He comes, but how does he come here? He comes through his?
Intermittence.
Yeah, that's one. And then the other way, he comes through his expansions, right? And particularly in the creation, he Purusha avatars. Yeah, particularly he comes through as Mahavishnu, from Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, then Shirodaksha Vishnu within this universe. Okay, and the Shirodaksha Vishnu is in everything. Okay, like we said the other day, within the nucleus, atom, proton, everything inside, outside, he's in the soul also. He's inside the soul, in the middle of the soul. The Lord is there, so he's always watching. Always guiding. So if we are favorable, he guides us. Whatever we desire, he guides us. So,
The example is like for what they are showing, the spider web. The spider spins the web, but it goes around, comes around, but it's not affected by the web. Like that.
The Lord, yes.
Takes it back
also. Yeah, when he wants to wrap it up, he can wrap it up with the creation. Yeah. Which is Mahavishnu. So he, and the point is that he is not affected by the material nature. So he even though material energy comes, the material energy of course bewilders us, but it doesn't bewilder him. Okay. So sometimes you hear some people who don't have proper understanding, they say the Lord is also covered by the material nature. But this is not a fact. You can see here. His transcendental position, even when he is creating, is never touched by the material nature. Okay. So, this verses from 30 onwards till the end, he discusses about the creation in his expansions, Purusha avatars. So that's he's covering that, and also he's actually answering the fourth question. Fourth question. Text 31. Taya vilasi teshu eshu guneshu gunavaniva anta pravishta abhati vijnanena vijrimgita. After creating the material substance, the Lord Vasudeva expands himself and enters into it. And although he is within the material modes of nature and appears to be one of the created beings, he is always fully enlightened in his transcendental position. So this we discussed already. He is never affected. The Lord is never affected. Even though he expands as Paramatma, he is never affected. As Paramatma within our bodies, he is our. Yes, so that means he provides whatever we desire. He sanctions. Bharata Bhokta Maheshwara. Whatever you want to enjoy, he sanctions. Whatever nonsense you want to do, he sanctions. Because he doesn't want to
interfere
with our free will. Free will means making the choices of whether you want to be Krishna conscious or nonsense, that's all. So that's free will. Particularly how you want to enjoy or not. And then Prabhupada quotes from the Vedic literature the two birds. Two green birds, one is eating the fruit of the tree. Which is the tree? The banyan tree, right? Which chapter? 15 chapters, upside down banyan tree. So there are different fruits and we go and eat, whereas the other bird is watching the other person, witnessing. So witness is the Lord, fruit eater is the living entity. So when he sees one branch of another branch, all he's trying to enjoy everything, but then he gets entangled. And so the living entity gets entangled, but the Lord doesn't get entangled. He's always untouched by the material nature. And then we also studied also the differences between the super soul and the soul. Remember? 13th chapter. Yeah. Okay. Alright, without looking at your book, what chapter is this? The name of this chapter?
Divinity
and Divine Service. Yeah. What is the next chapter?
Incarnation.
Yeah. Krishna is the source.
Krishna is the source of
all. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the verse we come to is 8 Chamsa Kala Kumsha. Yeah. So that is the title. So you should know all these chapter titles. Then you will know what is in the chapter. It will help you very much easily. And then you'll know. And then, after that, you should know each section titles also. Okay? And then within that section, then you will learn what the main points and important verses. And then you'll know the Bhagavatam very nicely. Text 32. Yathahi avahito vani darusheka swayonishu naneva bhati vishvatma bhuteshu cha tatapuman. The Lord as super soul pervades all things. Just as fire permeates wood, and so he appears to be of many varieties, though he is the absolute one without a second. Again, this is like his expansion within the material one. Srila Prabhupada goes into detail in the purport. He says his existence can be perceived even within the atomic energy, matter, antimatter, proton, neutron, in all this one can perceive the manifestation of the Paramatma feature of the Lord by proper spiritual culture. Okay, you can't use any atom or, you know, some of those big generator, they blast the proton or whatever, you know, accelerators or whatever they call it. So then he says, as from wood, fire can be manifested, or as butter can be churned out of milk, so also the presence of the Lord as Paramatma can be felt by the process of legitimate hearing and chanting of the transcendental subjects. So, therefore, we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we should therefore chant every day. Even if you are not coming to the place, temple often because of other things, you should chant every day the Srimad Bhagavatam in your home. You know, loudly you should chant. Of course, don't disturb in the night time or whatever. When everyone is sleeping and then you start chanting, all of a sudden you become a pure devotee and you want to purify the whole house, like, right? That's a disturbance, you know. Yeah. So, if you can't do that, then at least listen to Prabhupada's classes or your Guru Maharaj classes, Bhagavatam classes. Listen every day, you should listen at least a few. It's purifying, you know. But do it for yourself, you know, and then don't do it for others and you watch them, you know, like that. So, by reading the Bhagavatam daily, you will come to realize who is Krishna, who is this Supreme Lord, who is God. You will come to that realization. At this moment, we really don't know Krishna. It's only theoretical, but we don't really understand Krishna properly. But again, I'll emphasize, if you all associate nicely, then Krishna is there in the association. Yajnai Sankirtan Praya. And the last verse is? Yajanti hi. That means? Intelligent people worship. So, you have to come in together to chant. It's like, you know, like I said, you have opportunities, Sunday feast, to chant together. Come and chant. Just for how long? You know, half an hour.
20 minutes, yeah.
20 minutes, at least come and chant. Or once a week, you all should all come and chant. Just, come for aarti and chant, you know, chant together. And then you get relief from all the distress.
You feel so good, actually, when you go and dance together.
Yeah.
At that time, if you have service, then...
Then do your service, the same at that time. Because if your heart anchors for chanting and then you're doing service, then you should see no difference. When you have no service, then... Try to come. I'm not saying you're forced to come or whatever. But like yesterday was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. How many of you took the opportunity to come and take darshan of the deities and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta? Those are important, especially for us as devotees, practicing devotees. We should set examples for newcomers, you know. Just because we are here for 20, 30 years doesn't mean we are qualified not to come. It doesn't work like that. The more we do it, the more the others will feel strength in us. You know, then they will say, the Prabhu is coming for 30 years, I should ask him what to do. Otherwise, they will say, he doesn't come, she doesn't come, why I have to take instruction from them? Right? We break the thing, not that the process is wrong. We break the process ourselves. Sa kalane mahata yoga nastha parantapa. Finish. So therefore, it is required that we do it properly. Spiritual master, hear from them, hear from qualified devotees, you know, like that. So, Srila Prabhupada's point is, he makes a very interesting point. Human being can hear properly, whereas an animal cannot. You know? Srinvatam swakata krishna punya shravanam kirtanam. So, you know, he drives this point from the very beginning of this chapter. To hear, and to act on this. Very important for us actually. Otherwise we take things for granted, no? Yeah. So these four verses from 30, 31, 32, 33, they describe how the Lord comes into the material creation. Text 33. Asau gunamayar bhavair bhuta shukshmendriyatma bihi swanirmitseshu yugisto bhungte bhuteshu tatgunan. The supersoul enters into the bodies of the created beings, who are influenced by the modes of material nature and causes them to enjoy the effects of these modes by the subtle mind. So according to our different consciousness, according to the way we interact with the material modes, karanam guna sangasya satasa jyonisya janmasu. So then we take birth accordingly, animal birth or this birth, that birth. And then when that happens, you get affected. But the Lord doesn't get affected, okay? Don't get confused. We get affected. So this desire is all in our subtle mind, and because of that, it pushes us. The modes get strong because of these desires. Remember, sometimes the more of goodness, sometimes the more of passion, sometimes the more of... They all are fighting for something. It's my turn. So it's like if you have this game, the king of the mountain, right? Everybody climbs over each other, they push the other guy. So it's like that. The modes are always fighting one another, you know. So we cannot afford those kind. That means the mind is always agitated with all these kinds of desires. So when we have too much desires and we don't fulfill in this life, it is carried on by our subtle
mind.
Yeah, subtle mind. So then you carry in the next life. Yeah. So if you are not focusing on Krishna, then you have to come back. You know, you have to come back. Unless your spiritual master is so powerful that he prays for you to go back, then you have to suffer to go back. Yeah. Dragged. Right. Yeah. Yeah, so man proposes and God disposes. That means you desire something and the Lord will say, okay, let's do it. But the devotee is always thinking of what he would do to please the Lord. Whereas the non-devotee is thinking what
the Lord will do to please
him. Or what he wants, primarily. A devotee will know the Lord is in his heart, so he'll try to please the Lord. He'll try to see whether he's right or wrong. And because he understands that, he cannot do wrong things. And if he does, he feels very hurt. Yeah. Yeah. So then Srila Prabhupada writes, that's very interesting. The sufferings and enjoyments of the sons are indirectly the suffering and enjoyments of the father. Still, the father is not in any way affected directly by the suffering and enjoyment of the sons. Means that when we are in this body, we are suffering, the super soul knows. He feels our suffering. But it's not like he's like, oh, no, he doesn't. But he understands. He knows how much we are suffering. That's why Krishna takes avatars after avatars after avatars. And he sends different personalities to come to attack us. Still, we are saying, not yet.
Let me suffer more.
Yeah, let me suffer more. So it's our foolishness that we want to stay in this material world. It's nothing to do with the Lord. The Lord is always giving ample opportunity. And it's our own devious mind, you know. That. And so this mind, therefore, captures us in this material world. So, yeah. So, we need to get out of this mind that is always going to make us run. We need
practice and
association.
Yes. So, with the association, then you can get to practice properly, and then by practice you get knowledge and
vairagya
and detachment. Yeah. Jnanam jahat ahitukam. That's very important. And finally, text 34. bhavayati esha satvena lokan vai loka bhavanah lilavatara nurato devati janaradishu. Thus the Lord of the universes maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men and lower animals. Assuming the role of incarnations, he performed pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. So he's answering another question. The fourth question, yeah. Okay. Let me see. Yeah. So he comes in many forms, not just avatars. He also sometimes takes different forms, yeah? Like Matsya, Kurma, every different forms. Huh? And then he protects the world through his role as the controller of Sattva Guna or Vishnu also. So whatever forms he takes, there is no limitation for the Lord. We cannot think that he is limited because he took this form. No. Or there is any contamination. No. He is always sattva, sudha sattva. He is always beyond the material forms, nature. And when he comes in his own form. He says that in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna was saying, how is it that you can remember this information? But why? And he says, it's because you have to go so many births. I come in the same form. Right? Mm-hmm. Just like in this body, you know what you did when you were young. Maybe not so good memory, but still you know what you did. And how you grew up and the difficulties. So anytime in this life, people can ask, you can say something about this life. As soon as you die, this is gone. The memory is gone. We are not all Bharat Maharaj. So we won't be remembering our past lifetimes easily. So we have to understand that, you know, that there is a difference between a pure devotee enacting a pastime and us. So because we are not on that platform, we shouldn't get attached to anything in this material world. We should always try to perform devotion service for the benefit ourselves and to benefit someone. That means when you do devotional service, it should be, how should it be performed? Yeah, so how should it be performed? Joyfully performed. Yeah, it should be performed joyfully. That means when you do any service, and that joyfully performed is all in your, any kind of relationship. All right? It should be, there must be joy in interactions. tough call, but that has to be there. Yeah. You have to make adjustments so that you feel that I'm doing it for the Lord, not for myself. We need to come to that stage. And that requires some practice. In the beginning it may be difficult, then you must think about it and then always correct it. We cannot take the controlling position. Purusha Bhava. I am the one. I do this. Hi. Right? Because we have that tendency. That's why we are stuck here. Yeah? We should learn to, you know, do everything. So he protects them also when he comes in this material world. The Lord, particularly he takes different incarnation to reclaim. Reclaim those in the mode of guru. That means he comes particularly for this personality. So, what is that verse? Paritranaya sadhunam. Yeah. Sadhu means he is in mode of goodness, sattva, pure goodness. So that's how it is. Okay, so he particularly comes for that. So he comes to bestow them with bhavanaha, loka bhavana. Well, actually, he actually comes to give them prema. So loka bhavana means he is the creator of the universe. Okay. So in the beginning, bhava yati means he is actually protecting. And then in the end is Loka Bhavanaha. That means he is the creator. Because he already said he is a protector. So it doesn't, twice he won't, unless he wants to emphasize it. But according to the Acharyas, it means he is the creator of the universe. All right, so this chapter, what we see in this chapter is that the highest dharma is what? I know, but what is it in details? It is yayatma suprasidata, but how do you perform it? Ahaituki apratiyata. So it's unmotivated and uninterrupted devotional service. Because if you do it, what is the result of doing that? Yeah, but what are the tangible things?
You'll get the knowledge.
Yes. Jnana and Vairagya will develop. You must develop proper intelligence to give up material things. Vairagya means to give up material and to get it in line with Krishna. Then, what is the next thing we come to? We come to the understanding that by constant hearing, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. So, we by hearing, glorifying, remembering and worshipping Him, what happens? We get purified. The conditions are purified from the material contamination, desires, and the karma, as Mataji was saying. Yeah. So then what happens when you get cleansed? You
establish in goodness.
Yeah, you come to more of goodness, establish in goodness. And then, then you get all the other developments, the taste, the eagerness comes in. Then you do bhajana kriya, then you take initiation, all those things will take place. Then as we come to more of goodness, then we understand the knowledge even better. So all this are done by sages previously also, as Sutta Goswami explains, and they've understood. And all this expansions of the Lord in different forms, except for the Supreme Personality, all other forms are manifested under the material energy. But even if you worship all these other expansions, you cannot come to the mode of goodness. Only worship of Lord Krishna can raise one to the sattvic platform so that we can get out of this cycle of birth and death. So that's and of course the other points of answering the questions, the six questions are also there. In the gist I'm giving you what it is. Okay. So then we will do chapter 3 Saturday. Okay, 3, 4. From now on I'll go pretty quickly because it's I'll go pretty quickly. All right, any comments?
Today
will
blossom.
So what is the schedule?
We'll start at after lunch, 2:30.
We have class, previous class from what time? 10 to 1.
10 to 12 or 10 to 1, something like that. So 10 to 12. So then we go for lunch and then after that.
2:30.
2:30. I'm saying 2:30. 2:30 to 5:30. Or 6, we'll see.
And Sunday, then 11 or?
Sunday, Sunday, Arilas Prabhu is actually going out, so he'll be coming a little late in Sunday morning. So he was asking if we can do the class at 11 o'clock. 11.
Start at 11.
11:30.
Maybe 11.
Before 11:30,
then
we'll get
late.
I don't think he'll be arriving by before 9.
Oh, he wants